gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This shutdown and my birthday and drinking has made me loopy. I just looked at Chris and I said, aren't we starting the show at the wrong time?
Like, no,
Ms. Miller. How many years have we been starting the show at this time?
Nine now.
Nine. For this show?
Yes.
25 years in general for the show. Okay, I also, because I flew back from New York yesterday, I have way too much time to repair, and the New York Times makes me way too mad.
God.
As if you had more reasons to hate Republicans. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll get to all that. I'm overly prepared for today's show.
Okay.
Yes, loaded for bear. All right, and thank you, everybody, for all the birthday wishes yesterday. Thank you. It was Mama's birthday yesterday.
You're 52 now.
32.
52.
40-something.
Well, parts of you are 20-something.
Right, exactly. We'll just go with the youngest parts.
Okay.
Anyway, a good time was had by all. We had the partay of all partays. Guy that owns the creepy guy that owns the show.
Creepy guy?
Well, he paid
when
for
did that
rent.
Adjective crawl into the?
Well, you know, because when I do the show from New York, he always sits right in my peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Just,
okay.
Like, just like staring at me ominously. Just sort of. It's just always. There's always a threatish atmosphere. It's always a little bit of brinksmanship. It's always a little Syria and you know meets Iran. All right. And then driving in, as if I wasn't pissed off at Republicans enough, I heard a right-wing host say, well, the president has to cave on this now because of the Syria debacle.
No. Debacle?
Because we didn't bomb anybody.
What?
We haven't killed anyone in so long. Come on!
What? All right,
Can we just have a little war? Come on!
Dude, God, get your wargasm elsewhere. Go watch War Games or something. Do something with yourself.
Right, Shall we play a game?
Oh, my God. That is weird. That was lodged in both of your brains at the same time.
That's a famous line from War Games.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Okay.
Listen, fellow USC alum, Ali Sheedy, one of the many, many, almost all USC alums, much more successful than Mama.
Yep.
Which is always good to remember on your birthday. Anyway. I saw Glass Menagerie with Cherry Jones on Broadway. On Broadway. I was drummed out of Hollywood, as you know, and I went crawling back to Broadway.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yep.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Oh, it went for booze. It went for booze.
Oh, it did.
So
now you'll be able to quote Glass Menagerie correctly.
Oh, my God. I felt like I was back in my college theater Tennessee Williams class, because I was like, what did the monologue at the end mean? Did that mean that Laura killed herself or died or what? My friend's like, no, you moron.
I'm sure there was a closeted gay in there somewhere. Tennessee Williams always includes one of those.
All right.
Glass Menagerie starring Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh? And
excuse me?
Possibly Senator John Barrasso.
Wow.
What? What sort of light loafer has dropped now? Why wasn't I told?
Mike Rogers, who has outed quite a few people in D.C. He's the blogger.
Roger that.
I think is it America Blog? No,
right.
One of those.
Some of them.
Anyway, he kind of outed Senator John Barrasso yesterday.
Oh, no.
I bet he was embarrassed.
John Barrasso has not commented on it.
All right. Oh, can I just tell you,
To say that he hates him in his ass face.
All right, before we get to politics, because we have a big, big show.
Yes.
Rude Pundit, of course, Eric Bowler, who's the only reason I could get through this weekend.
Oh,
because
God.
Everything I think, he writes. We have actor-activist Cal Penn
That's
coming
right.
on the big show, and Lee Fang.
Fong.
Right, of the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Pardon me. Okay. all right, so I had one cute birthday thing, my 90-year-old Republican mom.
Yeah.
It's the cutest thing ever. So whenever she calls my house, she always hopes not to get me because she usually has prepared comments. She writes them down and she's all ready for a little
a message.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was like a birthday thing. And so she couldn't have been more befuddled when I answered the phone because I was running out the door of the airport Thursday. She's like, Steffi, she's like, my mom, what's
wrong? You startled her.
She goes, I have a birthday message. could I read it to you? It's it's so cute. And she has a little prepared statement, and then she has no questions.
You startled her just like iOS 7 startled you.
Right.
Yes.
She was as startled as I was by my new iPhone. Anyway, it was very cute. I forgot to, oh, dear, Steffi, I didn't put your card in the mail until you weren't going to get it until Monday, and anyway, she had a cute little happy birthday.
Oh, she still mails birthday cards.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I shake it, nothing comes out. Oh. Nothing.
Computer says no.
There's not a $5 bill in there?
No.
Oh. Werther's candy?
Nothing. All right. Where do we start with I right? Am I right so
You're
far?
Right. Right? You're right.
I mean, okay, let's just review. For people that don't, as you always say, marinate in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bill Clinton said this weekend, do you ever remember a time in our government when you have one party actively rooting for America to fail? The one description I read is Republicans were gleeful coming out of their and drunk also. How about that on your taxpayer dollar, getting liquored up and getting nothing done?
Absolutely.
Would you like to hear a quote from Ronald Reagan?
Yes, please.
That left-wing radical?
Oh, you already told me who it is. Never mind.
Dear Diary, day began with GOP congressional leadership, full cabinet room. Last night, the Republican Senate very irresponsibly refused to pass an increase in the debt ceiling.
Oh, my God.
Which is necessary if we're to borrow and keep the government running.
That'd be horrible.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Anyway, it ends at the under Ronald Reagan's presidency, the debt ceiling was raised 18 times.
Ah!
18.
This from the,
for those all
the Reagan diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there I go again.
Mm-hmm. So, here's what's happening. The Republicans, again, I know this gets repetitive because you can't really believe it. This is the law of the land for how long now? 3.5. It was duly passed.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
And
as we do in America.
Yes.
Upheld by the Supreme Court. Reaffirmed in two landslide victories for the president.
Which is why it has to go.
Republicans have voted 40-something times to repeal it.
Yeah. Even though
so
they don't
now,
really know what it is.
They are threatening to shut down the United States government over defunding the Affordable Care Act.
The law of the land.
Right. And I DVR'd some of Meet the Press. And to even have Ted Cruz on as a serious person. What? When have you ever heard of this happening? Somebody said, my friend Bob Seska, the only people that can keep me alive.
My friend Bob Seska.
Right.
My boyfriend Bob Seska.
My boyfriend. He is my boyfriend.
My boyfriend!
You know, if it were a foreign government doing this to us, we'd be at war with
them. Yes, we would.
Thank you.
Bomb them.
Thank you.
Can we bomb
the
GOP?
He said the Dems should come up with a Bush-era law they don't like and threaten to defund it and then insist the GOP won't compromise on it. I mean, if I had to have one more person go, well, you know, if Ted Cruz kept saying if Harry Reid and the president want to shut down the government, then they can go. But what? There's no. Oh, my God. Rude Pundit wrote the funniest thing. We'll talk to him in just a bit. But it really is in his rude way.
Sure.
As only he can.
Right.
It's just it's the most ridiculous, hostage crisis negotiation ever. Ugh. But anyway, it's this false equivalency. It's like, oh, look where everybody's gotten us. No! There has never been a time when it's clearer that it's one party. I'm reading, I don't even know which made me madder in the comments about what happened. Republicans argued they should fight as hard as they could because that's what their constituents are expecting. That's exactly what the public wants, said Michelle Bachmann.
Sure.
Destroy the government. The polls could not be clearer. They do not want the American government shut down.
And they do not like green eggs and ham.
Oh,
stop telling them they do. They do.
The mood in the Capitol on Saturday, at least among Republicans, was downright giddy. That's the word. Giddy.
We destroyed the country. Yay!
When Republican leaders presented their plan in a closed-door meeting on Saturday, cheers and chants of vote, vote, vote went up as members left the meeting. Many wore beaming grins. For a vote that they know
sure
is going
drunk.
To shut down the
right.
United States government. Because, they cannot possibly expect the president, his landmark legislation that we've taken how many years to get to in this country. They keep saying that we're trying to protect the American people. Oh, really? From having affordable health care and not being discriminated against
and from
pre-existing
having a government
conditions?
That works.
And, what? Representative John Culbertson, he's a peach of Texas,
yeah.
Republican of Texas, said that he and his colleagues were clamoring for a vote. He shouted out his own encouragement. I said, like 9/11, let's roll.
Oh, God.
Really?
Oh, my God.
No!
Oh. Okay, you're trying to compare yourselves to the brave heroes on the flight that went down in Pennsylvania. You're trying to stop 9/11, really? You're like the heroes trying to stop 9/11, trying to stop the American people from getting affordable. Okay, wait, there's more. He went on, sadly, that the Senate would almost certainly reject the health care delay, he added, was not a concern. Ulysses S. Grant used to say, oh, now you're Ulysses S. Grant. Now you're the guys on Flight 93. And Ulysses S. Grant all rolled into one. Boys, quit worrying about what Bobby Lee is doing. I want to know what we're doing. And that's what the House is doing today, thank God.
Oh, God.
What?
You're comparing this to the Civil War?
And by the way, you redneck.
You were on the wrong side.
Yes.
You would have been on the other
side. The Civil War. Right?
If Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats would stop being so stubborn, then no, of course the government won't get shut down, said Representative Tom Colton,
what?
Republican of Arkansas. That's what it is.
As long as they give in to all of our demands, everything will be fine.
Right.
Do shut down the government or the dog gets it.
Can I just tell you how all these stories come together? Meanwhile, the first time in how many years the presidents of Iran and the United States of America are talking for an hour? And I'm like, here's how all these stories intersect into, this is a really, by the way, these are serious times. We need serious people, to stop, not these.
Oh, boy. Sand.
We have serious problems.
All right,
to
you
solve.
Don't get my point. Not butt cakes like Ted Cruz.
Butt cakes?
Let me just weave this in before we break. I am just, nobody get in my way today. Here's, listen how, this is in the Iran story. Tell me. One of the senior officials traveling with Mr. Rouhani, the Iranian president, asked a journalist on Thursday, after the president had spoken for an hour and a half with each, you know, they'd spoken for an hour and a half with each other, if we create the right atmosphere, will Obama be able to tell the Congress to lift the sanctions? He went on to note the day's headline, saying Mr. Obama might not have the votes to keep his own government running.
Oh.
You see where we're at? See how dangerous these people are?
Wow.
They know.
Wasn't that sort of crap supposed to end at the, you know,
water's edge.
The, yeah.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
You're going to potentially blow the one possibility of
stick it
peace
to
in
Obama.
The Middle East.
Right. Right. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So we're just getting warmed up. 18 minutes after the hour.
Do we have enough money for a firing squad?
No.
Jim Louise. I'm the angriest dog in the world this morning. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
They call me hell. They call me.
Steffi.
They call me hell. They call me.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Would this song be any more monotonous?
I like
this
song.
I love it. I love it. Did you touch my ting-tings? All right, touch them. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, you know we love our 70s references here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Julie in Seattle writes, House GOP shutdown strategy as explained by Milton Bradley. Anyone who listens to the Stephanie Miller Show knows we learned everything we need to know in the 70s. This tomfoolery going on over funding for the U.S. government, no exception. Have you seen the House Republicans asking, why isn't the Senate in session debating our latest extortionist demands? Here's their cunning plan. When the lights go out, they'll claim it's not their fault because they tossed the time bomb back to another player right before the timer stopped ticking. If only the Senate is stuck holding it when the government lights go out, everyone will blame them. Thank you, Milton Bradley.
Makers of Time Bomb.
I think that was in the 60s, actually.
All right. Well,
yeah, I didn't play with that. We had something called Hot Potato.
Oh,
which I think
right.
was less,
same thing.
It was a less, less violent imagery.
Well, you were in a poor family, so it was an actual hot potato. Well,
yes, yeah. Mom
well, Time Bomb led to a lot of, like, broken teeth.
Careful,
and stuff.
Son. That's dinner.
Did you grow up in the Depression?
Sure. Yes. We had rock soup and we liked it.
And you liked it just fine.
We lived in a shoebox. Oh, we dreamed of living in a shoebox.
time bomb, yeah, it led to a lot of facial injuries, broken teeth, because you get really spazzy. That you just like, no!
Yeah.
Right, and then you just, oh, sorry, your eye.
I would get spazzy with Cootie.
Excuse me?
Cootie.
Sorry.
You know, Cootie, the game Cootie, where you put the little bug together?
I've heard you're not very good with Cootie.
What?
What the hell are we talking about? Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of injuries, the other thing, if you want to get even madder at the Republican Party and the NRA, did you read the New York Times piece, Children and Guns, The Hidden Toll? It's interesting. That story contains every human talking point that's ever called this show.
Right.
With a false NRA statistic. The child, we'll get to that later, but the child firearm accident death toll, twice what the statistics say, and in large part due to stuff the NRA fights for every day. Anyway, yeah, a lot of lovely stories in the New York Times. All right. Oh, can I have some nostalgia music? Speaking of nostalgia for better times when we could injure ourselves with 70s toys. Last New York Times, last shutdown is a lesson lost on Capitol Hill as new crisis looms. And we've talked about this before, why when Newt Gingrich and his pals shut down the government, it was different.
Yep.
Partisan divides over the role and scope of government are even deeper now, with the procedures of government thrown into such chaos that Republican senators took to their floor last week to offer something close to a comedy roast of one of their own, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. The lessons of the Clinton-era deadlock, which left the Republican Party damaged while restoring a weakened president, may be elusive. Further, Mr. Clinton's incipient opponent back then, Senator Bob Dole of Kansas.
Bob Dole.
Right.
Bob Dole thanks Bob Dole to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person.
Right.
Makes Bob Dole sound like what?
Makes Bob Dole sound like a fruitcake.
There you go.
Okay.
I think Bob Dole should cut it out.
He was the majority leader with a centrist agenda. Ironically, this was his health care plan.
Yeah.
That now these Republicans are ready to shut down the government over defunding. This is Bob Dole's plan, originally.
Bob Dole's plan.
He's a Republican, kid.
Bob Dole thinks he's enacted.
Pay attention. There's going to be a quiz. Okay. It's hard to find among the current Senate Republicans. It's mind-boggling, Mr. Dole said of the current budget impasse. The difference between then and now is the Senate said enough is enough. Also, no senator performed a fake filibuster as Mr. Cruz did last week. They were old-fashioned that way. An important structural difference exists as well. Before the shutdowns of 95-96, Congress had already passed numerous appropriation bills to finance the main areas of government. Congress today has passed zero.
Passing bills. That's so 1990s.
French and gay. This would be as complete a government shutdown as you can get, said one federal budget expert. The current fight over a doomed Republican plan to deprive Mr. Obama's health care of law of money, Mr. Graham said. Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern belle, Senator Butch me up.
My stars.
Said is about taking a legislative proposal, the signature issue of a president, and asking him to walk away from it. I just don't see that as being the best tactic. When you're giving Lindsey Graham the vapors, I mean, when you're a Republican giving him the vapors, there's something that's going awry. It was Mr. Dole, with his presidential ambitions affirmed and his control of his conference, who pulled the plug on Newt Gingrich and his revolutionary douchebags over in the House. Mr. Dole said his biggest regret was not moving sooner. I think we could have ended it a day or two earlier, he said, because Clinton was eating our lunch. Hey, I made my lunch back.
Hey, Clinton, stop eating my lunch.
This was Bob Dole pre-Viagra, for God's sake.
I know.
All right. Dana in Maryland, real quick. 30 seconds. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm with you, Stephanie. I could barely watch David Gregory yesterday. Ugh. And Ted Cruz just repeating, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working.
Right.
It's like, it hasn't started, you douchebag.
Yes.
And, you know, they're drunk during the vote. I mean, you know, Merlot and a carton of cigarettes, breakfast of douchebags. So, you know what? Shut down, blame it on them, and we're done, and go POTUS. Love you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Go POTUS. Yeah. Go POTUS. It's your birthday.
Yeah,
okay.
Reporters could smell the alcohol coming off the breath of the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a bunch of tweets to read.
Yeah, and that was just Boehner.
I was just going to say. Someone said, I can't tell where the source is. Oh, please.
Oh, come on.
Check where the orange hue is coming from. 29 minutes after the hour.
Oh, pirate flash for me. Ah.
Rude Pundit next with the funniest skit about this ever.
Do you two have to imitate everything you see on...
Stephanie Miller.
We're 12,
So, yes?
Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. I just dropped my iPhone. Why is Steve Jobs not here to pick it up yet?
Oh, dear.
Martha Stewart's been taking a little bit of a whooping on the Twitter.
Yes. She tweeted that she dropped her iPad, the screen shattered, and why hasn't Apple come to pick up her broken iPad and fix it?
Apple Care doesn't mean Steve Jobs comes to your house to pick it up for you, Martha. Okay.
She said Steve Jobs gave it to me.
Shut up, you name-dropping whore. Okay. All right. You know, what can we say? We get the smartest, funniest listeners in the world. So even our listener comedy hilarious. But listen, kids, when you have professional comedy like Rude Pundit, I just have to read this before we go to him. John Boner will not compromise, but you must compromise. Here's the entire strange, ominous, enraging place we find ourselves in our politics right now, boiled down to a simple conversation, a playlet.
Oh.
I was just in New York seeing a play, so I love this, if you will. Here it is. Ready? Sane person. We need food. Can I use your car to go to the store? Crazy person. We do need food. However, you can use my car only if you punch yourself in the balls until you vomit.
Oh.
Sane person. That's ridiculous. One thing has nothing to do with the other. How would that accomplish anything? Crazy person. It's what I want. Sane person. Well, I guess we'll just starve. Crazy person. Yes. But remember that if we starve, it will be your fault because you didn't punch yourself in the balls until you vomit. And scene.
Wow. Okay. That is so much better than the Glass Menagerie.
Right?
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit.
Only his rudeness.
Pundit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Irma Gerd. Rude Pundit, I have the greatest idea ever. It just came to me.
What's that?
You and I are going to Broadway. You are going to do rude versions of every classic, little rude playlets of everything, right? Glass Menagerie.
Oh, that would be great, the rude glass menagerie. I'll tell you what you can do with those glass animals.
Right. Just imagine what could be done with those glass animals.
A streetcar named Go Bleep Yourself.
Oh, especially the glass unicorn. Oh, you broke the horn off. What could I do with that glass horn? Anyway.
Streetcar named Job. Just think about it. Think about it. Get back to me. I'm just saying. We have a big sexy liberal announcement coming. I'm just saying.
That's
true. Technically, I'm a big theater producer, so think about it. All right.
Hot dog.
Hot diggity dog. No, rudeness, the ball punching thing, you can't really say it any better. This makes no sense to any sane person. What is going on?
No, it truly is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. And the fact that they are actually gleeful about this, that they're, you know, they're drinking it up on the floor of the house, getting ready to shut down the government. I mean, you know, they're
that's the only sound that came from the Capitol is the cartoon drinking sounds.
I was hearing this morning that the Tea Party GOPers are actually celebratory about this. It's like, yeah, we're finally going to do what we came here to do.
Well, I know. When you say, are they drunk? I mean, the answer is yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. All these reporters' tweets, did you see this? Talking about several congressmen drinking while working. Ginger Gibson tweeted, I'm not over-exaggerating when I can say I smell the booze wafting from members as they walk off the floor.
Wow.
For all those asking for names, sorry, I didn't get close enough to figure out the source of the smell. Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Is it hello?
Right.
Yeah. And then she was running into them in the liquor stores on Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm like, they are a bunch of drunk drivers. They are drunk driving us off a cliff.
It's really remarkable. And the fact that there's still people in the country that are cheering them on, it's just depressing.
Right.
This should be one of those moments where everybody is turning on them. And the only people that you know, of course, the Democrats are, and I love the sort of pimp slapping they're getting from a lot of the Senate Republicans, of just saying, okay, cut it out, we get it, you've made your point.
Right. As the president said, knock it off.
Yeah.
Snap out of it. We need Cher to come in there. That's what we need.
Ted Cruz fluffing them like he's on the set of a porn movie. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, as you say, Republicans just released a conservative wet dream about the stuff Obama needs to agree to. They want it all, approving the Keystone Pipeline, tax reform a la Paul Ryan, gutting every regulation on everything, delay that Affordable Care Act, stripping the president of the power to make rules on, you know what, it's the whole thing. In other words, it's calling on Obama to surrender his presidency to the Tea Party.
Right. They want Somalia.
Right.
They want to live in Somalia.
Yeah. Well, there was somebody, I forget who it was, who said they, in order for them to get what they want, Obama's gotta become a Republican. And, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, they talk about all of this, you know, that they get upset when things are legislated through ridiculous methods, you know, which are perfectly within the rules. But yet here they are trying to get rid of a law. And you know what? That's the really effed up thing is they keep that now they've got their little linguistic tricks going where they keep calling it a bill.
Right.
And it ain't a bill.
Right. Or Ted Cruz saying, oh, well, you know, Harry Reid's government shutdown or President Obama's government shutdown. We don't want that. We hope they don't do that. It's like, oh, my God, how dumb do they think we are?
Well, but that's the dumb people that they're appealing
right,
to.
Exactly.
It's the dumb people in their dumb gerrymandered dumb districts.
You actually had the, beside the ball sketch, you had the line of the week. You said Ted Cruz is who essentially Sarah Palin with a and an Ivy League sheepskin.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is the biggest huckster, and the thing is you keep sitting here going, wow, I really thought government was dysfunctional under George W. Bush and a Republican Congress. But, you know, that's salad days now. You know, we'll be pining for the time when all we had to worry about was an illegal war. if we break the debt ceiling, it's insane.
I bet Joe McCarthy would be embarrassed to be compared with Ted Cruz at this point.
Yeah.
But even though they look almost exactly mm-hmm. alike, yeah.
By the by, you also got your super-duper prayer missive, as you do, from the, what is the place called?
The Family Research Council.
Right.
Tony Perkins, who was just appointed to a government position in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, mother, blood, no!
Not that one, Jim.
Nominee been a very bad boy.
You say, you write, why is making health insurance affordable for millions of people, along with allowing people under 26 to stay on their parents' insurance and not discriminating because of pre-existing condition against God's will? Well, quote-unquote, progressive activists have long taught socialized medicine is the first major step toward their goal to transform America into a socialist state.
I mean, it's like the greatest trick the devil ever played was to get Americans to believe that anything we do for each other is communism.
Right. Isn't there a commandment that thou shalt not bear false witness? Because as you point out, besides, the FRC's got facts that would be correct if they weren't totally wrong. For instance, quote-unquote, the IRS suggests the average annual cost for a family of five in 2016 will be $20,000. That's expensive and yourself scary-sounding, even if it's a total lie. Lies aren't evil if they're spoken to do God's will, as you say, right?
Yeah. Like all those fake family planning clinics where they tell you to come in for your crisis pregnancy and then lie to you about everything to do with abortion.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea that this whole letter from the Family Research Council was to get us to pray that Obamacare is defunded, that it is put out of existence. And it's like, really? I don't understand. How are you providing then for the poor? Which is really sort of what Christ kind of meant. And, you know, it's too bad Jesus gets in the way of their Christianity.
Right, right. And you say they helpfully supply Bible verses for you to back up your prayers. You say, like, Hosea 4:6, where God puts down some whoop-ass, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you say, yeah, bitches, atheist bitches, get some knowledge. And meanwhile, they're putting out all the same false information that everyone else on the right is.
Right, and what I also love about that quote, and I pointed out that the rest of the verse actually is about smacking down priests who who've forgotten the law of God. And so it's saying that the religious leaders, like, I don't know, people on the Family Research Council, are the ones leading people, you know, down the wrong path.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I think what is
making... seems like something Satan would do, actually.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Could it be?
Satan will be disguised as a holy man.
That's right.
Possibly a Ted Cruz.
Yeah, and here's the thing that we'll talk to Eric Bowler about this coming up, but it's just this false equivalency that the media feels the need to create. Like, why can't both sides get along? It's just, this is so...
Both sides do it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, and even, like, I tuned into a local, you know, news channel yesterday. They've caved to, like, Republican misinformation. It literally was like, Obamacare starts Tuesday, are you ready? There was music like that under it. Under a local news. Are you ready? Oh, God.
Like
are you ready to not be discriminated against or pre-existing?
I'd like to think that was meant ironically, but I doubt it. Actually, there's a really Greg Sargent in the Washington Post has a really great column today about the idea of compromise and how House Republicans keep talking about, you know, the other side needs to compromise, and he's saying, well, compromise on what? Your offer is, we want to get rid of just a little bit of Obamacare, but what do Democrats get? The government left open? Which is really the entire basis of the bill? No, you can continue your sequester cuts. How about that? That's your compromise.
Yeah.
And let's move along to the next crisis.
Yeah, which, you know, if it's to be believed, could be even worse in terms of the debt ceiling.
The debt ceiling thing is really freaking scary, and I think I would. This is where Obama should step up and do that 14th Amendment solution, you know, and say, just simply declare that the debt ceiling no longer exists, and let's take it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Let's throw down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that. Rudeness, the greatest rudeness yet. So next week, good luck topping yourself.
Oh, God.
Good luck.
Okay.
Hello. Rude, gauntlet. Gauntlet, rude.
That's great. You've thrown it down. Now I have to pick it up and
get to work on the dirty playlists, and we'll talk.
I will. Don't worry. Death of a Rude Salesman's coming.
I will have my agent Max Bialystock call you after the show.
Beautiful.
All right. Love you. Bye. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David Gergen tweeted from CNN over the weekend, so far reactions tonight to strong likelihood of government shutdown running roughly 8-2 against the GOP. But some other polls I've seen really distress me that it's not that wide a difference between who people would blame. I'm like, really?
Because people are morons.
Right.
Well, they're paying attention to the stuff in their lives. They're not paying attention to the news 24/7 like we do.
They're watching Honey Boo Boo.
Right. And because they've put so many lies out there, the polling on Obamacare is people are confused. That's why they're so terrified, because guess what? Tomorrow the real thing starts, and that's why they will have to try to stop this before it actually starts. How can you say, as somebody said earlier, it's been a huge failure, it starts tomorrow? But a few of the good things have already kicked in. That people are already what are you talking about? I mean, it's just
the problem is people just don't know what it is. You know,
right. But also by huge majorities, they don't want the government shut down over it. Right. So, I mean, how they're such hypocrites. That's the other thing. It's like I was saying, this story about children and guns, the hidden toll, accidental shooting deaths are widely underreported.
Wow.
All these horrible stories. But anyway, do you remember all of those people when the American people, over 90%, wanted that background check bill passed?
Yep.
They didn't care. Oh, nobody started polling on the Republican side. Nobody go, you know, the American people want X. They didn't care. It's all they care about is what the NRA wanted on that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, John Avalon tweets, Ted Cruz, I wouldn't give up my paycheck if the government shut down. Oh, okay.
You are an idiot.
Wow. Okay, here he is.
The American people overwhelmingly reject Obamacare. They understand it's not working. The only people who aren't listening to the argument are the career politicians in Washington.
Guess what? You are a career politician in Washington.
Thank you.
Dillweed.
Katie in Massachusetts.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hello. Listening to that.
Oh, by the way, Katie, can I just say, I forgot, that was one other thing. Rude Pundit, my favorite phrase for, because so many people have called Ted Cruz so many things, Katie, including Republicans. He called him a festering knob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay. All right.
That was quite appropriate, actually,
because
right. he is one. No, I was just curious. I mean, listening to that laundry list, why do they not just go for the big kahuna? Why don't they just say, oh, and by the way, let's repeal Roe v. Wade.
Right.
You know, let's repeal women's rights. Let's repeal, you know, minorities' rights. I mean, if they think they can challenge laws that are duly passed in, you know, in the,
right.
in the land by extorting us, I mean, that's crazy.
Roe v. Wade wasn't a law that was passed that can be repealed, though. That was actually a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
So Congress really can't do that. They've been trying to, you know, cut back on abortions successfully.
Well, I mean, but Katie, what they did do, of course, is shove in this, ironically, this contraceptive thing in a funding bill.
To try, all
it's
that,
like,
yeah.
You know, to,
you know I'm
they,
curious,
they don't have
though.
To provide health care for women. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, these people that have elected these people that are, you know, these Tea Partiers, I don't understand. Why is, like, Section 2 of Article 1 not, like, I mean, really, are 30,000 people voting for these people? Because, I mean, in there it talks about the number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000.
Right.
So is 30,000 people actually voting? Have they gerrymandered the districts into that, you know, way so that they've got, you know, this one finite group voting these people that are holding the rest of the country hostage? Because I would love to sue them for the reasons, you know, that they're doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. However, the only good news this morning, you can get beer-encrusted pizza, and there's a cute video of a polite kitten that gives up its seat for an older cat. Oh, Kitty, you're so polite. This is why we're a nation of morons. Because, see, I just got distracted. I'm in the middle
of did.
Oh,
pizza really and cat videos.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you see? Yeah, this is what, I mean, House Republicans included a so-called conscience clause in the government funding bill in a plan they approved early Sunday. These issues were all debated and passed 3.5 years ago. The House voted on a bill that would delay much of the 2010 health care overhaul for a year. It would also repeal a tax on medical devices that helps finance the health care law. Isn't that clever? The measure would also allow employers and insurers to opt out of providing health care services they find morally or religiously objectionable.
Wow.
Caucus Chairman Xavier Becerra said it's absurd that an abortion-related provision found its way into a bill at the last minute. He said, we're less than 3 days from watching Republicans lead to a government shutdown. Now they want to reignite the war on women? Senator Murray said, once again, House Republicans have found a way to mount an ideological attack on women's health as the clock ticks down on a crisis they created. The truly unconscionable thing is Republicans want to try to rob women of access to health care while holding our economy hostage.
Oh, I wish I had dual citizenship somewhere. Mm-hmm. Anywhere. Mm-hmm.
But you were born here.
But yeah, then there's a good chance Ted Cruz will be your prime minister, so don't go there.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
Senator Chuck
Schumer. He's never going to be PM of Canada.
There's a time and place to debate Obamacare, but not at a time when millions of innocent people are held hostage if we don't fund the government.
Yes, Washington marched relentlessly toward its first federal shutdown in 17 years on Sunday as Speaker Boehner caved in once again to his crazy caucus.
Yep.
It's the crazy caucus.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Yeah, early Sunday morning, the House was poised, by the way, to approve a bill to keep the government open past midnight, but under pressure from noted douche nozzle Ted Cruz and other GOP hardliners, the House amended the bill to include the one-year delay and blah, 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 blah. Really? That when that guy calls,
I don't want to get in the hand.
Even before the House had a chance to vote on its proposal, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid blasted it as pointless. Democratic aides said the Senate would set aside the House amendments probably first thing this morning.
I'm blasting it with great fortitude.
Right. Leaving GOP leaders with a stark choice: approve the simple funding bill the Senate has already passed, or permit federal agencies to close. Harry Reid said, as I have said repeatedly, the Senate will reject any Republican attempt to force changes to the Affordable Care Act through a mandatory government funding bill. After weeks of futile political games from Republicans, we are still at square one. Jay Carney said the GOP strategy is reckless and irresponsible. Any member of the Republican Party who votes for this bill is voting for a shutdown. These are the guys, apparently, that somebody has elected. Representative Phil Gingrey, Republican of Georgia. He was when asked what happens now, he said, it comes back to us, I guess. We didn't really talk exactly about what the plan would be then.
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Senator Dick Durbin.
800,000 federal workers will be the victims of this Republican shutdown strategy. But even more important, it hurts our economy. For goodness sakes, we're just starting to recover and create jobs.
Oh, dear God. Okay. And Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland.
When do you say enough is enough? Let us move on responsibly to make government work.
See, we did not have that moment when Bob Dole called Newt Gingrich into his office and said,
Newt, get in here.
Shutting this circus down.
I'm going to smack you upside the head.
Bob Dole's not happy.
Bob Dole's going to hit you
with your what you're doing to Bob Dole's presidential chances.
Going to hit you with a shillelagh.
Cut it out. Or Donna Shillelagh. Don't make me do it.
I hit you with Donna Shillelagh. That hurt. Trust me.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Eric Bowler from Media Matters as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hey. All right, the government shutdown has hit our music machine. Minutes after the hour again. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Did you see, here's the other thing about being on the East Coast, I got to stay up to watch Saturday Night Live. Which I haven't done in like 1,000 years.
I watched it yesterday morning.
That's when we need the guy from Breaking Bad to bust into the House and the Senate and get this thing worked out.
Yes.
All right. My favorite was the smoking ER. No, not that one.
Okay.
The smoking ER doctor. That's what I got. I can't always solve health care. Stop sticking things up your butt. Seriously, I went to school for 8 years. Don't expect me to believe that you fell on a fire truck. All right. So lots of stuff to get to. God bless Eric Bowler from Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Oh, God bless you, Eric Bollert. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You're the only one that could get me through this thing. By the way, just all of your tweets were so great, because it's hard to even explain what's happening right now, right? I mean, Harry Reid said it best. He said, we continue to be willing to debate these issues in a calm and rational atmosphere, but the American people will not be extorted by Tea Party anarchists. I mean, that's what this is.
Yeah, and the press seems to be having a little trouble with it. I mean, it's
right.
So blindingly obvious that, yes, a lot of them have sort of dropped the both sides are to blame, but it's still around. You know, you see headlines, Congress in a gridlock, a showdown in Washington, Democrats and Republicans can't agree on budgets. None of that's what's going on. None of that is even close to explaining what's going on.
Well, you tell me one time in our history, one party has as decisively as this lost on an issue and something has been law for years. And another party has just said, no, we're getting rid of that or else we're shutting down the whole government. I mean, really?
All of it's unprecedented. But, honestly, I think the press deserves some of the blame here because they have emboldened this radical behavior. No one had ever launched a preemptive smear campaign to stop someone like Susan Rice from becoming Secretary of State. No one had ever, launched a smear campaign to stop someone like Chuck Hagel from being Secretary of Defense. These things were unwritten rules that they just obliterated. But if you looked at the press coverage, it all seemed very natural. Oh, of course they're going to smear someone like Susan Rice. No one had ever thought of, not voting for disaster relief after Sandy like Republicans did. But, the coverage was sort of, this is what happens when, the time ran out. They have been making excuses for this radical, radical, unprecedented behavior for 5 years. And so I think it emboldens them because they think, what do we have to lose?
Eric, you point out so well how this, it would be comedy if it weren't so sad for the country and ridiculous, but it doesn't matter. I was saying that I was driving in today and some, right-wing host is saying, the president has to blink on this because of the Syria debacle. Literally, he talks to the president of Iran. We are this. In how many years were this?
Yeah.
It's like peace with Iran. And it's just nothing Obama does seems to be.
Peace is broken out.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot of your tweets. Well, remember, this is Obama's big blunder. U.S. and Russia agree on Syrian U.N. chemical arms measure. # pundits get everything wrong. I mean, how is this a debacle? And it's like, that proves the president's naive and he's not going to handle Iran correctly. It's like, what?
Well, we haven't blown anything up in ages. Come on.
Right.
You know, so they continue to sort of grasp this idea that Syria was a debacle, which the only thing that was a debacle was the pundits' reading of it.
Right.
So
yes.
Then, you know, a week ago we have this, you know, rather clean, quick agreement on the UN to get rid of chemical weapons. And then we have this breakthrough with Iran. There's a new CNN poll. Three-quarters of Americans support direct, you know, talks with Iran.
Right.
You know, basically everything on the Obama foreign policy chessboard is falling into place. And the D.C.
Right.
pundits, I think, are embarrassed about how badly they misread
right.
Syria. Everything
well,
they thought they got wrong.
As
and
you
so now they're sort of being quiet about the Iran stuff.
And as you say, great timing, Peggy Noonan. Day after historic discussion between U.S. and Iran, Noonan publishes column about how Obama is bungling Iran. Hashtag
what?
Try again.
Huh?
I mean, he has already bungled it, I guess.
Because we haven't bombed Tehran?
Right.
What?
Huh?
Well, it's funny. That was the trap a lot of conservatives got in. They claim they oppose Syria because they're suddenly turned dovish. But in the end, what they were frustrated about was they were, you know, we didn't bomb anyone. And I think that's why they're upset about Iran. Wait a minute. You know, you're taking, you know, our beloved Iran, war with Iran off the table. But, you know, in a couple weeks leading up to the showdown, the shutdown, the press completely, I think, has bungled the most important narrative. They bungled it about Syria. And now some of them are coming forward and say, look, this is nothing but a Republican civil war. This is a radical insurrection within the party. But there's still a lot of people sort of very tentatively under that big umbrella. Democrats and Republicans can't agree on the budget. Again, that
right.
is not what is happening. That
Eric,
has nothing to do with what's
can
happening.
Can I tell you how all of these issues, as you know, whether it's this shutdown, affordable care, Syria, guns, it is all of one theme. And the piece you wrote that saved my life this weekend is about, because I thought I was the only one that noticed the Jim Acosta question at the press conference. And I don't know if you read the piece in the New York Times on, you know, children accidental gun deaths, which on all these statistics at the NRA.
Yeah.
Has, you know, just completely lied about. And anyway, but this is where I think it has reached its, like, the zenith. And I thought, like, because this is CNN. This is supposed to be whatever, liberal media, right? Mainstream media.
Right.
So you write, on September 16th, the day of the Navy Yard gun massacre in Washington, White House spokesman Jay Carney took questions. CNN's Jim Acosta said, Navy Yard, Newtown, Tucson, Aurora, Fort Hood. Is the president concerned that his administration will be marked by an inability to resolve this issue of mass shootings? And you say, huh? Obama's to blame for not stopping mass shootings? And once again, you know, you talk about the way they've covered this story, right?
Yeah. I mean, and as I point out, all the things after the Sandy Hook massacre that Obama tried to do, the executive orders, the, you know, 30 public speeches, Michelle Obama got involved. He sent Joe Biden up the hill. You know, he put his political capital. Everyone says, you know, he doesn't do this. You know, he doesn't lead. He doesn't put his political capital on the line. He did that for gun control. And the Republicans
made it his top legislative priority, as you say.
Yes. And so they completely rebuffed him, just like they've rebuffed him on anything. So then we have a CNN reporter asking, basically blaming the person who's trying to fix the problem of gun massacres. I mean, and as I point out, you know, Jay Carney sort of calmly explained, that's probably a question we might want to ask Republicans,
right.
who have blocked every attempt
Republican
to do anything
senators,
about
it. Right, who you say 91% of whom voted against the background check bill, and to the larger Republican Party, which made universally clear in the wake of Sandy Hook it would block any attempt by Obama and Democrats to tighten gun laws in America, no matter how many mass shootings unfold on our television screens. I mean, and you quote congressional historians Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann say, persuasion matters if the people you're trying to persuade have any inclination to go along or any attachment to the concept of compromise. And Republicans don't. They make it, you're absolutely right, the storyline becomes, why can't the president lead? Why can't
the
president use the power of persuasion?
Yeah. Well, that's what drove me crazy about this, you know, the CNN question and in the wake of the Navy Yard massacre. People were going back. So we were seeing all these sort of second-term obituaries after the Syria, quote, fiasco. And a lot of pundits were going back and saying, oh, the second term is already a disaster. And the number one item on their list was Obama couldn't pass gun control. And again, it's like you're blaming the person who's trying to do something. You're blaming Obama for Republicans' radical behavior. That has been the format for 5 years. We've see it with, you know, we saw it with gun control. Now we're seeing it with the shutdown. The press blames Obama for not being able to change radical behavior within the Republican caucus.
As you boil it down, 9 out of 10 Republican senators refused to support a bill that 9 out of 10 Americans supported, but it's Obama who's to blame.
Exactly.
It's Obama who failed and who has to carry around the political weight of the gun vote laws.
Because he won't lead. He doesn't ask nicely enough. He doesn't ask them
doesn't
to dinner.
Drink
he
enough,
take
right.
them golfing. With... You know, it's just this, what it is. You know, there's a whole generation of pundits in D.C. that are absolutely committed to the myth that both sides are to blame. Mm-hmm. And if people would just meet in the middle and be centrist, and whether you talk about gun control or sequestration or anything else, Obama, 9 times out of 10, has shown he will meet people in the middle.
Right.
And 9
Until
times
they run
out
away.
Of 10, Republicans will not move off their starting position. But this generation of pundits will not acknowledge that because that then obliterates their whole narrative that they cling to, that both sides are to blame. So they continue to blame Obama.
I mean, as Bill Clinton said, yes, I've never seen a time. Can you remember a time in your lifetime when a major political party was just sitting around begging for America to fail? He said, it's chilling to me. The entitlement spending is going down as the unemployment rate drops and the economy grows. Half the deficit's already disappeared. The rest of us just seems almost spiteful. I mean, no kidding.
Yeah, you know, there's a quote in the Wall Street Journal today, Republican congressman, I think, from out west, I can't remember who it was, he was, you know, frustrated with his radical faction within the Republican Party. He said they are, quote, giddy about the idea of shutting down the government. I mean, that's where they are.
Yeah.
But as I tweeted, you know, and then we talk about the debt ceiling, you know, and there's talks about, you know, the calamitous effects it'll have on the economy. You know, I think that just makes them more excited. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Haven't they really been trying to harm the U.S. economy for the last 5 years with the, you know, first with the stimulus bill and over again, you get the feeling what they really want. They don't want Obama to fail. They really want the whole thing to fail, the U.S. economy, the foreign policy. They want all of it.
Well,
as
the leader of their party, Rush Limbaugh, articulated, I want Obama to fail. You know.
Right, but I think it's beyond
that means,
they
right.
really,
they want
what
the country
they don't
to fail.
Say, what they don't say, but let's be honest, is they want America to fail under Obama.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, real quick, your tweet, I caught this over the weekend as well. If there's any better proof that Chris Christie's definitely running for president. Awful optics, you tweeted, for Governor Christie. New Jersey will now spend taxpayer money to argue in court that gays shouldn't be allowed to marry in a state that supports it.
Yep.
I mean,
overwhelmingly supports it. My frustration here is, I mean, you can't even stack, you know, you can't even... count the number of glowing D.C. press profiles we read about Chris Christie in the last 4 or 5 years. And virtually every one of them just glosses over, you know, his objection to gay marriage and really kind of the ugly way he's been trying to hide behind this statewide referendum. It doesn't fit in with their narrative, you know, of this, you know, common sense, tough-talking guy. And so all of that just sort of gets flushed down the memory hole, just like the fact that New Jersey has one of the worst unemployment rates in the entire country. These are things that you don't read in New York Magazine and the New York Times and all these wonderful pieces about how smart and clever he is.
Yeah.
They just sort of bury the ugly.
How bold and courageous.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Eric Bowler, thanks for saving me again this week.
Okay, thank you.
You and Chardonnay, my two favorites. Those together like.
He's already gone.
Yeah. Hello? I didn't hear that. Okay.
Why are you so distant?
What you thinking? 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Visit our friends at SiriusXM on Friday in New York. And guess who's coming on the show?
Who?
Robin Quivers.
Yeah.
I think it's this Friday. Who I love and have loved for years and never gotten to meet. Very, very exciting. Oh, and also Michelangelo Ciarini I ran into. who is on our fabulous station.
Signorelli.
Right. My point.
Sure.
You say tomato, I say whatever.
Signorelli.
Anyway, very, very exciting. All right. All right, because you know I'd never, my house, you've been there. Either Seriously Sinatra or Coffee House.
That's true.
Only two music stations that you need to have.
When I was there ITing for you last weekend, right? I think it was Seriously Sinatra.
Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Representative Peter King, Republican of New York.
I don't see how I could vote again for any more amending to Obamacare. We have to keep the government open. There's too many innocent people involved here. That we have too many people in our party. It's a minority who are following Ted Cruz, and they're tying up the entire Republican Party. This one's a vote in the House floor. The overwhelming majority of House members would vote to keep the government open. So I'm tired of having Ted Cruz call the shots for the House Republicans.
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, so Ted Cruz, as we played earlier, said the Senate Democrats are not listening to the millions of Americans who are being hurt by Obamacare.
Oh, shut up.
Really? Moments later, the vote took place. Cruz lost badly. It was clear that all Democrats and a majority of Senate Republicans had, in fact, listened quite closely to the public, which demanded the Congress not shut down the government, whatever the fate of the health care law. So just to update everybody that just tuned in, the bill now heads back to the House. If Republicans attach another health care demand to it, that's it. Game over. Government shuts down. Actually, tonight at midnight.
12:01. 12:01, actually, yes.
Right, which would be technically Tuesday.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Senate will have to strip it out again. There won't be enough time for reconciliation, which is a thing they need to do in the Senate. Okay. Speaker Boehner could agree to 1 or 2 week extension if he can get the votes for a kick the can bill, or he could punt, approve the Senate bill, and make his stand on the debt limit, where he could blow up the entire world. The entire world economy.
Great.
So that might be it. But he might want to be thinking bigger now.
Yeah.
Why just destroy America when you can destroy the entire world?
I want to destroy the entire solar system. No, the whole universe.
David Firestone of the New York Times writing, but he'll eventually have to punt on that, too, or risk triggering an economic catastrophe. The only realistic path is a sensible variant on what Mr. Cruz said this morning. Listen to the public. Stop governing by crisis. Or as President Obama put it this afternoon, knock it off. You know what we need? Mo from Three Stooges. Come just knock a few heads together.
Well, I ought to.
A couple of double fingers and the... knock it off. All right. Clint in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Clint.
Hey, y'all. Hey, listen, I love that the Republicans have in the media have attached Obama's name, President Obama's name, to this Affordable Care Act and calling it Obamacare like it's some kind of an insult, you know, and they're pinning this on him.
Right, and then when it works, it'll be Heritage Care again. It will be Heritage or Bob Dole Care.
Well, in 30 years now, there's still going to be Americans will still know it as Obamacare, and he will be a hero. He will have revolutionized health care in America, and he will be known for that. And no one's going to remember Ted Cruz's name at all. They'll remember President Obama and what he did for health care.
Yep.
If it wasn't buying a Buick and Abilene, they might remember Cruz's name. But
wow.
Would you buy a Buick and Abilene from that voice?
No.
It's only got 30 miles on it. Yeah, sure. And that's a ticket. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Carol in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Tea Party acts like they're on reality TV. It's just a show, and all they're worried about is getting renewed for next season. They have no care for any of the consequences. They're just happy to be on reality TV.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's David Frum writes in the Daily Beast. It's anybody's guess, I guess, how this is all going to play out in terms of the politics. David Frum on why the infighting is sure to backfire on the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He, by the way, he's the one that wrote the helpful Axis of Evil speech about Iran.
Yes.
Okay. It's now practically assured parts of the government will go dark on Tuesday for the first time in 17 years. From a Republican point of view, happy endings. We like happy endings, don't we, Jim? Happy ending number one, the president blinks. He's blinked before, after all, notably when he agreed to sequestration in 2011. And who knows, he might blink again. Problem with happy ending number one, this time, blinking means blowing up the president's most important legacy, his health care plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do it.
No, not going to
do it. Not going to do it.
Not going to happen.
Wouldn't be prudent.
No.
Not going to do it.
Happy ending number two, the country blames the Democrats for the shutdown. After all, the GOP is only asking for the president to negotiate. It's the president who refuses to yield. Problem with happy ending number two, Republicans actually shut down the government in 1995. They took the country to the brink of debt default in 2011. The caucus is reacting to the shutdown with enthusiasm, not regret. It's going to be hard to sell the claim it's Democrats who brought this latest outcome when Republicans came out of the caucus looking so happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Giddy, as was described by many reporters. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Morning was guys' night, so we were playing our favorite drinking game. We watched
Stephanie Miller,
and whenever anything gay happens, we all take a shot.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, guess what premieres tonight?
What?
We Are Men.
What?
Tonight, let's see, it was 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS, uh-huh. Starring our good friend, the incredibly smart and funny, Cal Penn. Hi, Cal. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
You are. That sounds like the manliest show ever. You play Gil, a small business owner whose wife left him after catching him in bed with another woman. So you are.
Yes.
Yes. It sounds like a great cast, too.
It's a very fun cast. It's, you know, Tony Shalhoub, who of course just came off with Monk a year or two ago. Jerry O'Connell, who is always funny and ridiculous, and then a guy named Chris Smith, who was on episodes of The Mindy Project and 30 Rock, and he's a very, very funny guy, and we've been having a great time so far. We're on our eighth episode, I think, and we finally premiere tonight.
It is. Now, you move into a singles complex is the whole storyline, right?
Yeah, these are four guys who are newly single, and they move into an apartment complex that's designed as short-term housing, although really is more like a resort than anything else. And as folks in this situation will do from time to time, give each other really, really bad advice. There's a lot of advice given on the show, and nobody should ever follow any of it.
It's sort of like Dr. Laura's show that way. Anyway, Cal, interesting, you're on a man show, right as the Republicans have started the war on women again. Did you see they tried to, you see in general what they're trying to do. It's like a bad sitcom. But they tried to shove back in this, you know, being able to discriminate against women and take away contraception in the bill, or they'll shut down the government.
Yeah, you know, I tend to, I saw that and I thought that it's gotten to the point now where it's just like a war on sanity.
Right.
More than anything, you know what I mean? Like these are conversations and arguments that have been hashed and rehashed 30 years ago, and it's kind of absurd that that they're threatening to shut down the government over things that are existing in law, in reality, and in people's conscience.
And you know, you were obviously on the campaign trail for President Obama, and I guess you just can't say it enough. But he won two elections on this issue. The Supreme Court upheld it. It's been law for 3.5 years. I mean, it literally, you can say, has never happened in our history that one party has just said, you know what? We don't like this law, so we're going to shut down the government unless you defund it. I mean,
I mean there are, you know, there are ways. Let's say that somebody doesn't like the law. That's fine. There are many laws that many of us don't like, but you don't threaten to shut down the government over that. Particularly, you know, I would say over a law that finally gives folks access to health care and health services so that they don't die.
I mean, right. Yeah, how dare the president?
It's a little nuts, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is, I mean, you can look back right on our history, Medicare, Social Security. Republicans did the same thing, the fear mongering, but when they lost, they lost. They didn't try to, you know what I mean? This did not happen.
Yeah.
So I where do we go from here? I mean, if we literally get to the debt ceiling and they blow through that, I mean, I'm not sure what's happening in this country. Are you?
No, I mean, look, the president has been firm this, obviously, that that something like the debt ceiling is not about new bills. It's about making sure that the credit and faith of the country is something that we stand by. It has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act, which is finally giving folks access to health care. And the hope is, you know, they've got, what, a little over 12 hours to Congress does to make sure that they don't shut down the government over something that that has nothing to do with what they're discussing. And if they don't, I mean, look, I don't think anybody wants it to shut down, whether it's folks that are, the economy has been rebounding the last couple of years, particularly the last couple of months. So a lot of our friends finally have jobs that have been coming back. The economy's been a little more stable. The housing market's been improving, and all of that stuff could conceivably go out the window very quickly if the government shuts down. So who knows? It really is shocking, in my opinion, to see it get this close. I mean, it's been kind of the boy who cried wolf story the last couple of iterations.
Yeah.
Even when I was living and working at the White House, I would kind of, you know, I would roll my eyes after the second or third time these conversations were happening, going, really, I can't invest in this. This is just, after a certain point, you tune out. But I don't think we've gotten quite this close or quite this insane about it before.
Yeah, I have to hope, Cal, when you are in the remake of Cocoon and I am doing my radio show from the old the senior home and I have you on again, that history will show, you know, Obamacare obviously will, you know, be as popular as Medicare or Social Security. You know, obviously we will see the Syria situation as like our Cuban Missile Crisis that the president solved without as much as firing a shot at Syria or talking to Iran for the first time, right? You know, that you and I are not.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That history will prove us correct, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, but even if you look at our Republican friends who are Republican voters, the vast majority don't want, you know, this to be held hostage. They don't want the government to shut down over funding for Obamacare. And these are folks who don't necessarily agree with healthcare reform to begin with. So that's when I rarely use words like crazy to define anybody, because as you know, there's plenty of crazy on both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
Particularly in the strong personalities that exist in Congress, but no, this is really an issue where it seems like the will of the majority of voters on both sides of the aisle is just not being listened to by the Republican leadership, and that's really, really shocking.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, guess what? We found to salute the premiere of We Are Men tonight on CBS.
It's so funny. I literally just got done. A buddy of mine on G-Chat earlier today, who works for a Republican, very conservative Republican House member who shall remain nameless. I said, so are you coming into work tomorrow? And he goes, yeah, I'm essential. I'm like, what's going to happen? I really don't know what's going to happen.
Wow.
I'm like, right. Well, you know what you should do? You should just have everyone in your office just at 8:30 tonight, just turn on CBS. You're not working anyway. Just laugh. Just enjoy our show.
Exactly. All right. It's tonight at 8:30 on CBS, We Are Men, starring Cal Penn. Cal, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Yes.
What? Men. What?
Men.
It's great to be on a ship with men and sail across the sea. Oh, we don't know where we'll land or when, but it's great to be with men.
It's great to be with men.
'Cause men can sweat and men can stink and no one seems to care. Oh, we'll throw the dishes in the sink and clog the drain with hair. Oh,
clog the drain with hair. Oh, men.
Yeah. See? And we couldn't find that for years. Why?
Because you said it was Monty Python.
It is not. It's Martin Mull.
Yeah.
And I apologize to Martin Mull.
There is a Monty Python thing similar to that.
Oh, right.
The Lumberjack song.
The Lumberjack.
Right.
That's what we... Yeah.
Right.
Man up, everybody. Okay.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. Sleeps all night and he works all day.
Yay.
Oh, Reg, I thought you were so rugged.
What's that? I'm not breaking it. Okay.
Herp derp.
Let's go to James in Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hi. I have a problem with comparing this government shutdown, if it happens, with the ones in the past. One thing, remember the sequester was supposed to be so bad no one would go for it, but the far right didn't care, and they let it happen, and it's still happening. So if the government were to shut down, I don't think the far right cares if it lasts for 3 years, as long as Obama's president, if they have to.
Yeah.
So who do you think is going to cave in first?
Yeah, I was going to finish David Frum's piece about what Republican, and he's a Republican, right? I mean,
he is.
Yes. He does not think this is going to end well. It's going to backfire on Republicans. His happy ending number three He said even if the president does blink and even if Democrats don't get blamed, perhaps Republican activists will be so motivated and mobilized by the shutdown that their excitement will loft the party to big wins in the 2014 races. Problem with happy ending numbers, Reed, because happy endings 1 and 2 look so unlikely, the shutdown is likely to end in a Republican retreat. Party activists will be demotivated and may waste their energy recriminating against their own leadership rather than organizing to fight Democrats. Oh, awesome. Fight, fight, fight among yourselves. And let's get a Tea Party challenge in every district. He finishes, after all in all, it's hard to see a positive outcome emerging for Republicans from this confrontation, yet the party is charging forward anyway. Why? The shorter answer is a breakdown in the party's ability to govern itself. It can't think strategically, even when it's pressed to do something overwhelmingly likely to end in disaster, as this shutdown looks likely to do for Republicans. The party has no way to stop itself. It stumbles into fights it cannot win, gets mad, and then its anger lurches into yet another fight that ends in yet another loss. It's like the drunkest guy in the bar. Republicans who want to fight smarter are called squishes. Republicans who wish to fight less are called rhinos, and both have been hunted pretty near to extinction. Yeah. instead of effective opposition, we see those doomed spasms, and out of these spasms, Obamacare looks sturdier than ever.
Ha ha! Hee
hee. Hey, you little piece of me? Come on! That's come here! Ow! Yeah. Ow! Ow!
Ha ha!
Yeah, it's just Boner stumbling drunkenly around a tavern, yeah. Just picking fights. Getting the kicked out of
I'll show you what for...
And then Obama pushes him back into his own like Tea Party caucus, and then they start to beat the out of him, too. He broke their table. Okay. John in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm wondering if the guys over there in Congress shut down the government, do they still get their paycheck?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ted Cruz made a point of saying, mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm not giving my money back.
Well, I think you should take his Harvard Law degree and go sequester himself.
Yeah. Go sequester. Oh, I almost thought we were both lunging for the dump button.
No, I heard him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
On the debt ceiling, everybody. Yeah. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, I saw this on Meet the Press yesterday. David Gregory asked him about, making the Nazi, comparing Obamacare skeptics to Nazi appeasers.
Yes.
He said, the premise of your question isn't true. I didn't make that comparison.
Oh, but he did.
You're a lying sack of crap.
It's on tape.
You're a lying, steaming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. I'm actually Sue in New Jersey at the moment on way home back to Rockville.
Oh, thank you. We have that information. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Thank
yeah,
you.
I see you.
I have an easy analogy to help people understand what the Republicans are doing. It's as if you're being held hostage and your perpetrator says to you, I am going to kill you, but you can choose either a gun or a knife or I'm going to chop your head off. And you say, I really don't want to die. I would like to live. And the press reports, why won't victim negotiate?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's really what they're doing. They're saying, choose the agent of your own destruction, but this is no marshmallow man. This is real damage to the people and to the country. But then the press is utterly complicit in saying, why won't Obama negotiate? Well, why won't you negotiate with what object you're going to be killed with if you just want to live? It's ridiculous, and I don't understand why people can't see that. And I fault the press every day for being just horrible.
Yep, yep, exactly. I agree. Oh, here's the other thing I got to do.
What?
When I was in New York, because I was not getting up at...
At stupid o'clock.
And going to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
I got to watch Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, you've
hilarious.
Never seen that?
Loved it. With our friend Michael McDonald.
Yeah, he plays a good bad guy.
Yeah, he's a really bad guy.
Yeah.
With the knives and stuff.
Yeah.
There had something to do with that analogy. She just said, I've lost it now. But anyway, my point is, my favorite line. Someone asked Melissa McCarthy, what time will you be there? She said, I don't know. I think half past yourself, depending on traffic.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that in L.A.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Senator, didn't you love her family?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yes.
Anything that Senator Bullock is in, good with me.
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Rand Paul.
The president saying no compromise.
Right.
I will not touch Obamacare.
Right.
But the interesting thing is, he's amended Obamacare probably 15 times already.
What?
But he does it without any legislative approval.
Right, because he doesn't have to. He's the president. No, we tweaked every program. It's a law. We tweaked Medicare, Social Security.
It's been voted on by both houses, right, and the Supreme Court affirmed it. It's law. It's not a bill. Not up for...
Right, thanks. Representative Marsha Blackburn, she's my new irritant.
She's not helpful.
On Sunday mornings. Remember last Sunday? No, there's not going to be a shutdown as much as the president wants it. Please and thank you. Okay.
This is a program that is too expensive to afford.
Uh-huh.
Delay Obamacare.
Oh, don't get poundy now. Okay, and she says she's just doing her job.
We are doing our job on behalf of the American people.
Uh-huh. Right, that's what the American people are saying. Please shut down America. That's what we'd like
you
the
know
most.
What's too expensive is your salaries, because
yeah,
you're not doing your job.
Yet you're still going to pull
loaders.
Them. You're going to pull your salary
using
tomorrow.
Our tax money to pay for booze. While they shut down the country. Really? Okay. Mike in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Why do you guys twist everything?
Uh-oh.
I'm an independent.
Are you a small business owner who likes to listen to both sides who has just stumbled on my show?
Excuse me?
Why do you always have to twist everything?
I don't know. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mike.
I voted for Clinton. I voted for Bush. Voted for Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans are doing what the constituents want them to do. Why do you guys say
really?
Whose constituents? Whose constituents?
Huge majorities do not want the United States government shut down over defunding Obamacare.
Well, Obamacare was passed.
Right.
Right.
Very, very sneakily. Okay.
Not sneakily. No. It was debated for years. It was online from day one. It's such bull that nobody read the bill. Everybody read the bill. It was available online. We debated it endlessly. It was on C-SPAN.
Pass.
Oh, for God's sakes. I'm not in the mood for him this morning.
The Supreme Court upheld it, and the president was reelected by a landslide
it was passed.
Why did he keep twisting it? He was elected sneakily.
Because it was that black ninja.
Black Kenyan voodoo.
Ninja. He did it all sneakily in the dead of night with nobody reading it.
Whatever.
Why do you keep twisting everything?
He rammed it through. Okay. All right. Kenny in Arkansas. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, Stephanie. I love you and the mooks, man.
Thank
really
you.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Got a question for you. How can we overturn this Republican gerrymandering, or if we can?
Well, I just have to hope that if there is enough disgust, that it may happen. Alan Grayson was on the other day and gave me a little bit of hope on that. By the way, we're trying to find it. We'll maybe have the actual audio for tomorrow, but Bill Maher did a hilarious piece about how great everything is working in California. Where's the thing he said?
Because we voted out all the Republicans.
He said all we had to do to accomplish that was vote out every single Republican, which is pretty much, because now California really is. It is like an incubator for, now this is not sort of theoretical anymore. All of these, and it's driving them crazy. All of these things are going. I have to read a little bit because it's just, we'll get the whole thing tomorrow. But he explained the real reason conservatives should be afraid of California. He said, finally, new rule, conservatives who love to brag about American exceptionalism must come here to California and see it in person. And then they should be afraid, because while right-wingers are taking over places like North Carolina and Texas, even Wisconsin, California is creating the kind of modern liberal nation the country as a whole can only dream about. And not only can't the rest of the country stop us, we're going to drag you with us. Now, it wasn't that long ago the pundits were calling California a failed state, saying it was ungovernable. But in 2010, while other states were busy electing whatever Tea Party or claimed to hate the government the most, we elected the guy who actually liked it, Jerry Brown. And without a Republican governor and without a legislature blocked by Republicans, a $27 billion deficit was turned into a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Anybody paying attention? How? Well, it's amazing. Really, we did something economists call cutting spending and raising taxes. I know it sounds like crazy science fiction, but you see here in California, we're not just gluten-free and soy-free and peanut-free, we're Tea Party-free. Yes, now we can live in reality. I mean, Texas could do it too, but they love their freedom too much, like when that unregulated fertilizer plant blew up. Just some great stuff in here. For example, now that it's clear Obamacare is going to be a success here, the movement to go all the way to single payer is gathering steam. In lots of areas, California has decided not to wait around for the caboose part of America to get on board. Yokels can mock European-style democracies all they want. We're building one here. Gay marriage, pot smoking, regulating carving, and people like it. Anyway, and it's just, there's just some great, it's some great stuff in here. He said, you know, it's ironic, the two things conservatives love the most, the free market and states' rights, are the two things that are going to bend this country into California's image as a socialist fagtopia. Maybe our constipated Congress in Washington can't pass gun control laws, but we just did, because we don't give a about the NRA. Out here, that stands for nuts, racist, and holes. Great stuff. Speaking of which, got to get to this New York Times gun piece, because it's indicative of everything that's going on right now in Washington. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rocky Mountain Mike writes, Steph, I did Kenny Pick's show the other night. Before I went on, I noticed he was wearing my Beaver Liquors t-shirt I got for him and the whole gang in Columbus. So before we all decided to join him, and there's my whole little island of Misfit Toys family.
Aww. I have the hat.
All in Beaver shirt.
Nice Beaver.
Aww.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Mr. Schaefer and Rocky Mountain Mike and all our little Kenny and their Beaver Liquor t-shirts.
Aww.
Aw, you kids. All right. Speaking of our dysfunctional little sexy liberal family, we're going to have a huge sexy liberal announcement soon. I was with sexy liberal tour director Roland Scahill in New York, the high-strung sexy liberal tour director, and we have a huge announcement coming very soon.
Huge.
I wonder what it could be. Okay. Could it be the long-awaited West Coast sexy liberal? I think it might be.
I think you've hinted enough that that's what it's going to be.
I think we're finally going to find Obama's birth certificate, the real one.
That's what it is.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Oh, by the way, Mike sent a little tribute to the last right-wing troll guy that just called before the top of the hour. Thank you for your trolly talking voice.
I've been listening to your show.
Thank you.
I first sat on my remote.
That's you.
I'm a small business owner who likes to listen to both sides.
Right.
I've got some lame, half-baked opinions, like Obama is a Kenyan, and a list of Fox News talking points to get through, like a right. Talking out my ass about subjects I don't even know, and hogging up all your phones. Wow. Like a right-wing cowboy, speaking up the airwaves of TV and radio.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, troll boy. Say hello to everyone under the bridge. We appreciate it. All right. Hey, a great, it's not hard to find these, however, a great...
Right-wing hypocrites!
On Obamacare by Lee Fong of The Nation, who joins us now. Good morning, Lee.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. You wrote a great piece about Obamacare's GOP fans and the shameless hypocrisy. Tell us a little more about it.
Well, there's some kind of, I suppose, perverse incentives in the healthcare fight. You know, there's this problem in Washington, D.C., where a lot of the consultants and politicians and folks that kind of drive the conversation often they benefit from hurting policy or making policy that harms a lot of ordinary individuals. And I think the Affordable Care Act debate, if you want to call it that, over the last 2 weeks is a great example of this, where a good number of Republican consultants and industry groups are benefiting from attempting to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. They're raising lots of fundraising dollars,
right,
spending those on high-priced consultants, or in some cases, some industry groups don't want competition, and they're fueling a lot of these attacks.
Lee, it's a scam, and you started, you know, documenting this with Paul Ryan, but then you say the shameless hypocrisy of over 20 other anti-Obamacare Republican lawmakers who requested health reform money for their constituents, even as they called for repeal of the law. They argue the money will save lives, improve health, and promote wellness. The very opposite of the arguments that those lawmakers made when calling for repeal. And as you say, whether cutting a ribbon or signing a letter, not a single Republican has acknowledged that the health programs are endorsing are provided by Obamacare. I mean, this is the biggest joke I've ever seen, right?
Well, I mean, it's disingenuous. And, you know, I think a lot of the blame goes to the media when, you know, you have Ted Cruz talking for 21 hours and he doesn't devote a single sentence to how, you know, we should cover 50 million uninsured, how to provide access to care for people who need it. You know, he blathers on about green eggs and ham, but no one in the media goes up to him the next day. I watched a video of the press scrum as he emerged from the Senate chamber. They said, how are you feeling? How are your legs doing? You know, they're not going to ask him about the substance, about the law, and how, you know, we actually make policy that works.
Yeah.
They're really interested in this political theater, and they're not asking any of these Republicans, you know, what their plan is, or calling them out that, you know, they're trying to defund what is essentially of Republican law. This is what Mitt Romney erected. This is what Bob Dole proposed. This is alternative plan, the individual mandate. They're not interested in having a policy debate. The media loves this theater, and they're fueling a lot of kind of brain-dead arguments.
Somebody on Facebook said, if we currently have Obamacare, the Republican alternative is called We Don't Care. I mean, and it really is. I mean, at this point, I mean, when the mood is described as giddy over shutting down the United States government, over defunding a law that is going to get 30 million people health care, I just don't I don't know where we are in this country.
Yeah, and they want to defund a law that, you know, as you were just mentioning, that Republicans have already said big parts of it, either it's their idea or many parts of it, they have gone around cutting ribbons and saying, you know, this is great stuff for my district. It's saving lives. And then they go back to D.C. and get on Fox News and say, you know, donate to my political action committee. I'll make a big difference.
I told this story the other day that the president told that I think is so indicative of what's going on about, you know, in Kentucky. There was a Kentucky fair, and a guy came over and was looking at the stuff from the exchanges, and he goes, wow, this is a pretty good deal, a lot better than Obamacare. And it is Obamacare. Yeah. That's what they're afraid of, is these polls are going to turn around immediately when people realize that what they're getting is Obamacare. You know, it's not the lie that they've been fed for so long.
That's right. I think there was a story just last week, and I don't have it by my side here, but I believe the poll was, you know, like something near 50% of Americans oppose Obamacare, but only 35% oppose the Affordable Care Act. It's the same thing, you know. It's this game of semantics where there's been so much misinformation, so much politicization, so much polarization that people just get confused.
Lee, and here we are. Here's Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, yesterday.
I think the House will get back together in enough time, send another provision, not to shut the government down, but to fund it, and it will have a few other options in there for the Senate to look at again.
They're going to put in more hostage demands. But, you know, I mean, just I don't get where there's something that has been the law of the land for 3.5 years that they think they're in a position to negotiate over.
Well, look, Republicans have the House, but they don't have the Senate or the White House. And I think their lobbyist benefactors realize that this type of brinksmanship is the only way to enact big policy changes. So, you know, whether it's the debt limit or, you know, funding the government through the continuing resolution, they're tacking on all of these policy riders to must-pass resolution. And they're hoping that Democrats flinch.
I'm looking at it.
Some of these things.
Yeah, Lee, I'm looking at the Chiron on the TV playing chicken on Capitol Hill. Here's Representative Tim Griffin, Republican. This is life or death for a lot of people. And if you need any more evidence, this is a game to them. Listen to this.
This is the old football strategy. When you get to where you want to be in a football game, you run out the clock.
This isn't a game. Right? This is the literally life and death for a lot of American people.
For some folks, it's a very profitable game. You know, if you're a medical device industry executive or lobbyist, you're kind of salivating over this fight because I think there's a real chance that Democrats blink. It's a small chance, but there is a chance that Democrats blink and say, okay, we're going to not, you know, repeal or delay Obamacare, but to let Republicans save face and not shut down the government, we'll repeal the medical device tax, which begins to unravel the Affordable Care Act and is a $30 billion gift to industry. So there are some people who are not crazy. They're actually rational, self-interested lobbyists and industry executives who are priming this fight and hoping that it benefits them.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, great stuff in the nation as always. Lee Fong, we'll see you real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lee. Okay. In Republican states like Florida, where Governor Skeletor is not going to be helpful.
No, you're right.
That's good, Jim, because you mentioned this earlier. Hideous 48-hour death bacteria has laid siege to Florida waterways.
Yeah.
Florida man has died after he was exposed to a bacteria in a local river. The bacteria considered the most deadly foodborne pathogen in the world.
It's horrific.
Officials say the bacteria can be contracted by eating raw shellfish or through shellfish. Ah. Shellfish. Or through an open wound. They say it's a flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah.
Good time to be without health care. Yikes. Okay.
What isn't wrong with Florida?
Steve in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hey, the real problem with the Republican Party is this belief that individualism is the only legitimate ethical value, and therefore anyone who wants to do something for the greater good of society is magically the enemy of individualism. And this false dilemma that you cannot have individualism and altruism in the same ethical system is the basis for everything that comes out of their mouths that needs to be exposed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well said, sir. Nicely done. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Much more to get to as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds
like the Republicans.
So Ted Cruz is essentially 21 hours. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. I do not like that. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, the good news is Willie Nelson's armadillo is back.
So thank God.
Everybody just calm down.
I can sleep now.
Theater manager says a stuffed armadillo that was stolen from his band after show has been returned unharmed.
Good. Nice armadillo. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
It's Old Dillo is his name.
Old Dillo?
Disappeared after a concert. Right. Listen, I'm just glad that I'm not no longer under suspicion because, as you know, I was drunk at dinner at Annie and Willie Nelson's house in Maui, and I did not steal the armadillo. So
good.
Because they said there was a woman on video. It was not me.
I'm thinking the armadillo may be stuffed with cannabis.
Well, yeah, what do you think it's stuffed with? It's Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mary Jane.
Maybe Mary Jane stole it. It was a woman on camera.
It's not a drug mule. It's a drug armadillo.
Yes. All right. I do not think this seems like a good idea. This is about real animals. Hotel that inspired The Shining plans to dig up its pet cemetery?
No.
Come on, people. An old pet cemetery resting on the grounds of the hotel that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining will soon be dug up to make room for, quote, a wedding and corporate retreat pavilion.
Oh, yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, good luck with that.
God.
All those marriages are cursed.
Really? They're tempting fate like that?
Stirring up the bones of the dead could kick up a hornet's nest of paranormal unrest at a local psychic. And she's not talking just about ghost dogs. Well, there's a great movie, though. Ghost Dogs.
I think it's been done. They're really tempting fate by digging up a cemetery on that site.
Really, a pet cemetery. Which he also wrote, didn't he?
He wrote Pet Sematary. Yep. The Shining and Pet Sematary are, in my opinion, his two scariest books.
I don't do scary. I know. I just watch C-SPAN and Republicans.
Well, that's scary enough.
Michael Chertoff is scary.
Right. Gary in Alabama. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you this
morning? Good, good, good. What could be wrong? We're about to shut the United States down. Somebody hit the lights on your way out today.
Hey, listen, I say that because that's how I say things. But let me tell you something. You just got to relax. They're irrational. You know, they're not the people who are perpetrating the fraud, but the ones who are accepting it. That is the poor people who are, let me see, the white people who are poor. Because here they are. Here, let me tell you what I have in the mail, got in the mail, just to let everybody know. I'm a 67-year-old person. I got a letter saying, hey, look, option one, you can join Medicare drug flat on your own. Option two, you can enroll your or we can put you in one. Oh, I didn't do anything. So they put me in one. What did I get? I got another letter saying, hey, you have a zero monthly premium. Oh, $2.65 every time you get a prescription for generic drugs. Oh, if you want the good stuff, brand name, $6.60 copay. Oh, then I got a card in the mail. Now, this is all for Medicare. See, all these old people who saying that Medicare, they take away my Medicare, do this, that government's not. See, I'm 67. I worked 50 years, so I earned this. I was in the military for 4 years. I earned this.
Right.
So then I got this card from Aetna, and it says, oh, look, anytime you go to any one of these three places, give them this card so that when you want to get a prescription to take care of yourself after working 50 years, serving your country, having a child who just retired from 20 years in the military, serving the country, you just go ahead. We'll take care of you. See, that's what a country does.
Yeah, that's what we all do when we're all Americans all together. See how that works?
Yes.
Right? Thank you for your service, sir, by the way. Thank you. I'd like to be calm. He told me just be calm. You're in the back seat. The Republicans are driving. They are drunk, literally.
Yes.
According to several reporters this weekend, they could smell the booze. And they were going the wrong way. Just saying. But just remain calm, everyone.
They're going the wrong way.
He says we're going the wrong way.
Right. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific. Thank you.
They're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody! You're going the wrong way!
Car horn. Okay.
Well, apparently they were heading towards Canada since they were going the wrong direction, eh?
Direction.
Direction. So, let me get this straight. After the Syria debacle, as right-wing radios call it.
Because we
didn't
blow anybody up.
Peaceful resolution, got a ruthless dictator to admit to and give up his chemical weapons without lobbing as much as a water balloon. Damascus, okay.
Well, we didn't blow anything up. What fun is that?
Iranian foreign minister says nuclear facility inspections possible to open negotiations. Iran would open its nuclear facilities to international inspectors as part of broad negotiations with the U.S. that could eventually restore diplomatic relations between the adversaries. And those talks have the backing of the nation's supreme leader. The president of the United States and Iran talked for the first time in 70 gajillion years?
Since the 80s.
Since the revolution.
Shah. 79. Yeah.
Once again, undoing all the damage George Bush did. You know how much damage he did by one saying axis of evil? We stopped talking to Iran.
Thanks, David Frum.
Yes. Well, only one solution. Bomb Iran, as according to John McCain and others. And this story is sort of stunning in the midst of all this. But I was looking at this in the New York Times yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I thought how the parallels. Iranians welcome president of Iran when he went back to Iran with protest. He faces pelted eggs, but praise as well. Long live Rouhani, man of peace, some of the president's backers shouted as a small contingent of police struggled to control the crowd of 200 that seemed mostly to be Rouhani supporters. Hardliners, though, responded shouting, our people are awake and hate America. This is what the president's facing here, Tea Party throwing eggs at him.
Uh-huh.
Anyone that wants peace, I mean, okay. So anyway, yeah, they talked on the phone for an hour and a half. This is the first time, again, we've had, and here's like their tea party in Iran. We are here because we hate America, and Iran will never have relations with America, said a man who declined to be identified. Rouhani must listen to us. See? Tea party.
Like
As the president's car drove, one man shook his head in despair. Why must everything always be destroyed? The whole world is looking at us, and now our people are throwing eggs at our president. Cut to This is a story right next to it. I read this earlier. It bears repeating. As midterm elections near, members of Congress who've approved ever-increasing sanctions may hesitate at voting to end the chokehold on the Iranian economy. Without drastic reversals on sanctions, the Iranians will be unwilling to walk back their nuclear advances and vice versa. Tell me, one of the senior officials traveling with Rouhani, the Iranian president, asked a journalist. This is key. He said, tell me, after they spoke for an hour and a half, if we create the right atmosphere, will Obama be able to tell the Congress to lift sanctions? He went on to note the day's headline saying Mr. Obama might not have the votes to keep his own government running. This is because they know they can see what's happening in America. They will be against it because Obama's for it.
Yeah.
They would rather that we go to war with Iran than help the president in any way on anything. And this is... All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why does your crew look drunk?
I won $1,000 and I gave them all a bar tab and they got drunk at lunch and now they like me.
34 works every time. 34 minutes after the hour. I was reading another piece in the New York Times about Iran, and I thought, this is just another example of how Obama is cleaning up Bush's messes everywhere. His economic mess, getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're saying perhaps the phone call Mr. Obama made on Friday began to narrow this chasm of distrust, at least suspending the chants about the great Satan that ring out at key anniversaries in Tehran and ending the hangover of President George W. Bush's decision nearly 12 years ago to label Iran a charter member of the Axis of Evil. So,
Yeah.
And once again, I couldn't believe it yesterday because, both sides are the same, Jim. Will the president's Syria debacle and his naivete about the Muslim Brotherhood Iran being yet another disaster for America? What?
We need to blow something up. Come on.
I actually am hard of hearing, Darth Vader, now, because I am starting to lose my hearing from too many years of headphones, and I just keep screaming what at the television every time I hear anything.
At least you're not the Waxback guy.
Ow!
I alternate that just for fun. Anything David Gregory says.
Ow!
That was stupid. Janet in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Janet.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, Mook. I want to weigh in on this whole debacle. I'm in Gaithersburg, Maryland, just down the road from D.C. and all the crap that's going on there. But first, I want to say when I tuned in this morning and listened to you stammering and stuttering because you were so frustrated you couldn't put your thoughts together about this whole mess, I thought immediately it's too bad I'm on the right-hand coast because someone's got to get her a box of Chablis real fast.
Right.
Chablis.
Anyhow, my thoughts on this whole mess is, one of the things that we're overlooking is I'm sure you've seen maps of gerrymandered districts, and you must realize how hard it is for them to draw those maps to include enough of their votes to get elected. And if Obamacare succeeds, we're just going to be keeping people alive who are going to vote against them. And they got more work to do to draw those maps. It gets harder and harder if you've got more people alive.
Yeah. Well, This, of all the things that were making me mad this weekend, I'm sure a lot of people read this, but if you haven't, you should. It's yesterday's New York Times. Children and guns, the hidden toll, accidental shooting deaths are widely undercounted. And you see that picture, Jim? Isn't that really everything wrong with America?
God.
It's a guy helping his...
three-year-old?
Three-year-old.
Yeah.
Shoot an
assault rifle.
I mean, honestly, Jim, are we not... Is this partisan anymore? Is there just not common sense? I don't care how big a gun lover you are. Do you really think that's a good idea? Do you think toddlers with rifles is really wise? I mean, Lucas...
let's let him drive a speedboat.
Yeah, Lucas Hegren with his father, Joshua, on Christmas 2011, holding a .22 rifle that was a present.
Well, it's a .22. Okay.
The photographs was evidence in Mr. Hegren's negligent homicide trial after Lucas shot himself.
Wow.
But this article just sort of lays bare all this, and literally I was laughing because every person, every right-wing gun troll that's... here has one of these NRA talking points that is completely incorrect. And New York Times did a huge study. That's why this piece is in there yesterday, that the accidental shooting deaths are widely undercounted, and that's the crap that the NRA uses to sell.
Well, there just aren't enough 3-year-old good guys with a gun.
But it's double. It's double the amount because remember, someone will call right on like clockwork and go, oh, more kids kill themselves
with icicles.
Right. Popsicles. What? Again, some common sense.
Kids, they slip on rocks and
right.
hit their heads.
Kids who climb on rocks. Yeah, fat kids, skinny kids.
Chicken pox.
Right,
yeah.
Chicken pox probably
See,
kills
that'll
more
kill
kids.
You.
Than, right. He says 45 caliber pistol that killed Lucas Hegren on Memorial Day last year in his Ohio home has been temporarily hidden under the couch by his father, but Lucas found it and shot himself through the right eye. A few days later in Georgia, Cassie Culpepper, 11, was riding in the back of a pickup with her 12-year-old brother and two other children. Her brother started playing with a pistol his father had lent him to scare coyotes. Believing he removed all the bullets, he pointed the pistol at his sister and squeezed the trigger. It fired. Blood poured from Cassie's mouth. Just a few weeks earlier in Houston, a group of youths found a Glock pistol in an apartment closet while searching for snack money. A 15-year-old boy was handling the gun when it went off. Alex Winfield, who had just turned 11, was struck. Relative found a bullet in his ashes at a funeral home. Cases like these are among the most gut-wrenching of gun deaths. Children shot accidentally, usually by other children, are collateral casualties of the accessibility of guns in America. Their deaths are all the more devastating for being eminently preventable. Mm-hmm. They die in the households of... Well, here's another NRA talking point. They die in the households of police officers and drug dealers, in broken homes and close-knit families, on rural farms and in city apartments. Some adults whose guns were used had tried to store them safely. Others were grossly negligent. Still others pulled the trigger themselves, accidentally fracturing their own families while cleaning a pistol or hunting. And there are far more of these innocent victims than official records show. A New York Times review of hundreds of child firearm deaths found that accidental shootings occurred roughly twice as often as the records indicate, because idiosyncrasy is how such deaths are classified by the authorities. This is why the NRA does everything they can to make sure they don't do any reporting on this kind of stuff. They don't gather any statistics. They don't...
Exactly.
Scores of accidental killings are not reflected in the official statistics that have framed the debate over how to protect children from guns. The NRA cited the lower official numbers this year in a fact sheet opposing safe storage laws, saying children were more likely to be killed by falls, poisoning, or environmental factors. An incorrect assertion.
Bats. Bats kill people.
Legislative and other efforts to promote the development of childproof weapons using smart gun technology. Remember, that's come up. Have similarly stalled. Technical issues have been an obstacle, but so have NRA arguments that the problem's relatively insignificant and the technology is unneeded. Against anything. What's wrong with... I mean, they literally keep going, oh, no, you can't have safe storage because you got to have your gun, like, immediately.
It's ridiculous. You can't... Blah, 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 blah. Hey, because you want to make an omelet, you got to shoot some kids in the head.
Right. Because of maneuvering in Congress by the gun lobby and its allies, firearms have also been exempted by regulation from the Consumer Product Safety Commission since its inception. I mean, they are clearly inherently dangerous.
Guns don't kill people. Toasters kill people.
Somebody made a great point. They said, we have childproof caps on aspirin.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't there be? There's no way to childproof a gun, really? Smart technology, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's craziness.
Smart technology is dumb. Herp, art, die.
By the way, that article, I just posted it up on your Facebook page if you'd like to take a look at it. A
lot of great quotes in here. Jody Sandoval, whose 14-year-old son was accidentally killed last year with a handgun left accessible by the grandfather of a friend. There are no accidents. There are simply irresponsible, stubborn, cowardly adults unwilling to stand up against the gun lobby and those who support it. I mean, it's just, and you know, this article has all the pictures of all these little toddlers, little babies. I mean, it's the Rifle Association's lobby arm recently posted on its website a claim that adult criminals who mishandle firearms, as opposed to law-abiding gun owners, you know, the responsible gun owners we hear so much about. Are responsible for the most fatal accidents involving children, but the Times Review found a vast majority of cases revolved around children's access to firearms, with the shooting either self-inflicted or done by another child. Everything they put out there is just nonsense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's only drug dealers. It's only bad. What? No, it's not. A common theme in the cases examined by the Times, in fact, was the almost a magnetic attraction of firearms among boys. In all but a handful of instances, the shooter was male. Boys also accounted for more than 80% of the victims. Time and time again, boys could not resist handling a gun, disregarding repeated warning by adults and sometimes their own sense that they were doing something wrong. When Joshua, somebody 11, took an unloaded 20-gauge shotgun out of the family gun case, it was because he was excited about going to a gun safety class that night.
Oh, boy.
For reasons he later struggled to explain, Joshua loaded the single shell into the gun, pulled the hammer back. He decided he should put the gun back, but his finger slipped, fired, killing his 12-year-old sister, who was standing in the kitchen. I mean, it is access to guns, period. I mean, and that's the thing, is the NRA always cites the, what is that thing, the Eddie Eagle program or what? I mean, you can tell kids as much as you want. You can't stop a three-year-old toddler. They did an experiment, in fact, where they put all boys in a room and hit a gun. And a huge percentage of them handled it. A huge percentage of them fired it, even though they were specifically told not to. I mean, that's what I mean. Anyone that has a parent knows you can't count on something you told a three-year-old.
No.
Yeah.
It needs to be child-proofed.
So the undercount stems from the peculiarities. Well, first of all, the NRA blocking everything, but by which medical examiners and coroners make their manner of death thing. A lot of times they'll anytime someone else is killed, they call it a homicide, even though it's clearly an accident like this. So that's why that gets underreported. These rulings are wildly inconsistent. Even self-inflicted shootings are clearly accidental can wind up classified as homicide. So. Anyway, a few public health researchers, by the way, have also noted the undercount in the past based on their own academic studies. To get more accurate information about firearm deaths, researchers have pushed for the expansion of the National Violent Death Reporting System. Guess who's against that, Jim?
Wayne LaPierre.
Uh-huh.
LaPierre.
The effort first started in the 90s at the CDC, but was shut down shortly afterward when Congress, at the urging of...
Wayne LaPierre.
blocked firearms-related research. At the centers.
You know,
President Obama has called for an increased financing for the program, but a package of gun-related proposals made after the school shootings in Newtown. And guess who was against that?
Wayne LaPierre.
And then guess who voted against that?
Wayne the Peter.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Another important aspect, a lot of the firearms accidents, a vast majority of the victims do not die. Tracking these injuries nationally, however, is arguably just as problematic. So in terms of even trying to figure out, like, how many kids... shoot themselves or other kids.
Here's a ground rule. Anyone who believes in Santa Claus should not have access to a gun.
Right. Thank you, Jim. The Santa Claus law.
Yeah.
There. That right there. In opposing safe storage gun laws, some gun rights advocates have argued the majority of accidental shootings of children are committed by adults with criminal backgrounds. The Times Review found that was not the case. Families from all walks of life. Children, most often the shooters. In state after state, often with considerable success, gun rights group has cited the federal numbers as proof that the problem is inconsequential and that storage laws are unnecessary. Gun Owners of America says on its website children are 130% more likely to die from choking on their dinner than from accidental.
I'd say 130 million, that's what I meant. Yeah. A kajillion times more likely.
In February 2012, the Rifle Association issued a member alert about a proposed safe storage gun law in Washington State, arguing that shooters are at the bottom of the list of shootings at the bottom of the list of causes of accidental harm to children. If the actual numbers are in fact used, though, gun accidents would rise up into the top five or six. I mean, that's how you get something blocked that 90% of the American people want by just lying.
You lie, yeah.
How about this quote from a mother? My child living is more important to me than somebody stealing my flat screen.
Exactly.
Because there she is. She's holding her toddler's ashes. And this is on top of everything going on with the shutdown right now. The NRA has long argued the better education is the key. Eddie Eagle will solve everything. Yeah. Their fictional Eddie Eagle.
I know. We have a cartoon. That'll fix it.
Yeah. As a solution, maybe many behavioral researchers advocate greater emphasis on child-proofing firearms along with safe storage laws, but requiring or even encouraging efforts to introduce smart gun technology remains unpopular with the gun lobby.
Why?
Which work to undermine such research.
Why?
Why?
How does that hurt you?
Right. It's fingerprint recognition. The owner can fire it. I mean,
that's for their own protection.
Right.
If somebody steals your gun, he can't shoot you with it.
Thank you.
Idiots.
Thank you. Someone breaks in. A lot of times there's a scuffle. They end up with your gun. How
could you possibly be against that?
Gun rights
lobbyists one of the people breaking into people's houses.
Have also helped keep firearms and ammunition beyond the reach of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Because how can guns ever be dangerous? Which has the power to regulate other products that are dangerous to children. Proponents
say
guns. Hot
Wheels. Those are dangerous. Not guns.
One doctor said, we know in the world of injury control that designing safer products is often the most efficient way to reduce tragedies.
Yeah.
And he's the one that said, why, if we have childproof aspirin bottles, don't we have childproof guns? At the very least, right?
Yep.
Oh, I... There's a story of a baby in a crib, and his brother is two. He's a toddler, and he's cuddling with the baby in the crib, reaches over, gets a gun that was in the, you know, playing around. It was in the cabinet right there, shoots the baby. The baby's dead. It's just...
If we have labels on hair dryers that pretty much say, don't stir your soup with this hair dryer.
Don't use the hair dryer in the bathtub.
Why can't we have basic safety measures on guns?
And then this is the point where my head just completely exploded, being an animal lover that I am.
Oh, boy.
NRA lobbyist stirs outrage after shooting and killing an elephant for sport on television. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. It aired on NBC, NBC Sports. NRA lobbyist, good friend of, Wayne LaPierre.
LaPierre.
Wayne the Peter.
Yeah. Armed with a rifle, cruelly gunned down a defenseless African elephant for sport. He shot the animal twice in the face and then chased it down, shot it again, finally killing it. And then he posed for pictures with the carcass and drank champagne on the TV. Because America,
And what's he going to do with the carcass? You know, he'll take the tusks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, brag about how
what
he bravely...
What a man he is.
Yeah.
What a man. I'm going to be over here weeping silently.
Aww.
But I'll wedge in some fart jokes. Don't worry. In the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I just wanted to hear more. 53 minutes.
Oh, yeah, because that's soothing.
Oh, it's awesome. That would be Blue Crystal Meth, right? If it were a drug. This song?
Blue Meth?
Yeah, Blue Meth. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Charles in L.A. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
These Republicans, they're shaming themselves, the country, and democracy itself. If they had any sense, they would just allow a clean vote, you know, on the Senate version, and let the chips fall where they may.
If they had any sense. That's a good one. Okay, so we were just talking about gun stuff. Did you see this? Now a warning from George Zimmerman's wife, Jim.
Now a warning?
She thinks she might be a bad guy?
Yeah.
Just dawned on her.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. She said she has not been able to find him to serve him divorce papers. She doesn't know what he's capable of.
Wow.
He said she's conflicted over George Zimmerman's assertion that he killed Trayvon Martin in self-defense. After standing by him, she said, he kind of left and I guess kind of went on a victory tour without me. I thought I was living a life with him and I thought we were going to kind of rebuild all this, but I guess he had other plans.
Oh, dear. Okay.
She said she now doubts the innocence of the self-defense claim.
Mm-hmm.
The incident, the altercation they had.
Afterwards. Oh, the iPad incident, yes.
Right. She said, I didn't see a gun, but I know my husband. I saw him in a stance and a look in his eyes I've never seen before. His shirt was halfway unbuttoned. He was putting his hand in his shirt saying, please step closer, please step closer. So I think I just logically assumed he had a gun on him. The person that I'm married to and that I'm divorcing, I kind of realize I don't know him and I really don't know what he's capable of.
Wow. I think we know what he's capable of.
Yeah, I think we do. By the way, in a sliver of good news, because we need that today.
Yes.
Justice in Florida, Marissa Alexander, gets a new trial. You remember her, the 32-year-old Florida woman sentenced to 20 years in prison for firing a warning shot at her abusive husband.
That's right.
Didn't even hit him, hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman free. She got 20 years in jail.
Huh.
Yeah. Black woman, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
She testified after an altercation regarding texts from her ex-husband. She locked herself in the bathroom. Her husband broke through the door, grabbed her by the neck, shoved her into the door. She ran to the garage, found she couldn't get the door open, returned with a gun. When he saw the gun, he said, bitch, I'll kill you. She testified firing the gun into the air as a warning shot was the lesser of two evils. The jury did not accept her claim of self-defense, convicted her after 12 minutes of deliberation to 20 years in prison.
12 whole minutes. Wow.
Huh.
I'm guessing if she were white, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, she was, not standing her ground. Today, a unanimous state appellate panel in Florida reversed the conviction, so yay.
Good. Something good came
out of Florida. Something good out of Florida? Wow. What?
I know, right?
What now? What? Alan in...
Don't do that again.
Oh, what? Can I get a hey? Alan in Kansas. Hello, Kansas.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, Alan.
I miss watching you on TV because you're so pretty.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, do you think for 1 second that it's, let's say, there was a Republican president, a Republican Congress, and they passed a law that mandated that everybody over 21 had a gun? Do you think that the Democrats would just stand by and say, oh, well, the Republicans won, let's let them have it? No, they'd be doing everything they could to fight it.
How is that analogous to insurance?
Wait a minute. What now? If a law were passed that mandated everyone have a gun?
Yeah. What makes you think that the Democrats wouldn't be fighting tooth and nail to get that overturned?
Okay, but you're saying that's analogous to getting everybody health care.
No, I'm not. You're saying that...
Okay, but we're in some hypothetical land, that how can I have an argument? That would, first of all, as you know, never happen.
What if Madonna came out of an oven?
Right. Hello. Oh, is this Bill Donahue?
And make fun of the Jews.
Bill Donahue. Every time I go on TV to debate that blowhole from the Catholic League,
yeah,
he says, oh, Stephanie, if Madonna jumped out of an oven and made fun of the Jews in the Holocaust, you'd support her, wouldn't you? Me? Cut to me. Didn't, and what? No, huh?
And none of that makes any damn sense.
And scene. Okay.
God, what if... Yes, owning a gun is not analogous to having health insurance. Case closed.
But right. What if a bad analogy got shot by... I got nothing.
All right. Okay. All right, it's Monday. That was a little doughy. Everybody, you know... Put that back in the oven. Call back tomorrow.
Oh, there you go with the ovens again.
You see what I said? You see what I did? Oh, you know what I meant by that. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.